opportunities.
Part of the community.
The next idea.
A culture for innovation is a culture with a sense of destiny, a sense of that tomorrow is going to be better than today. That's what the word progress means.
The Kalamazoo Promise is one of the most innovative and downright intriguing ways to get kids through high school and into college that this state has ever seen. A donor or donors, we don't know, they're anonymous, promise to send every high school grad in the Kalamazoo school system to college, all private, no government assistance. Our partner in the next idea is U of M Ross School of Business professor Jeff DeGraff, and Kalamazoo is his hometown. His latest essay for the next idea is focusing on his hometown and the Kalamazoo Promise. Jeff, just what has the promise done for Kalamazoo, do you think?
Well, a few things. I think it's totally revitalized not only the city but the area. And it's not only brought, you know, conventional Michigan jobs back into the area, it's brought a lot of high-tech jobs, particularly biotech jobs, into the area. And it has a lot to do with the desirability of the workforce. And I think more importantly than that, it's done something really remarkable, which it's really developed the culture and the capability for innovation, not just in this generation, but more importantly, in the next.
There's this intangible thing that we're seeing of kids realizing college can happen. And then where that takes them, who knows?
Well, that's that wonderful Upjohn Foundation study that just came out that basically said one of the big issues, of course, it didn't solve all the achievement gaps, but it says the achievement gap is shrinking. And more importantly, it's making the idea of going to college more desirable, and it's putting that be in people's bonnets. And most importantly, it's creating the means to actually do that.
So something I've always wondered whenever I've had conversations about the Kalamazoo Promise here on Stateside, if it's so successful and it's doing these good things, why have not we seen more attempts to implement different variations of it in other Michigan cities?
Gosh, if I knew that, I'd love to tell you that. To me, one of the most amazing things is in a business works, when a new idea takes hold, everybody copies. There's a lot of fast followers. And there are fast followers to the Kalamazoo Promise. Unfortunately, from what I can see, most of them are not in Michigan. They're in other parts of the world. So it strikes me as a very much a lost opportunity for a lot of these communities to build templates out of what we've learned from the Kalamazoo Promise, to go and study how they've done that, to learn how they've avoided a lot of the pitfalls of, you know, political coercion and commercial coercion. Mm-hmm. But I don't see a lot of that.
What are ways do you think it could be expanded?
Well, I think in a few things. One thing, I think it's a wonderful starting point where you could actually start structuring whether it's tax abatements or favorable tax situations. It's something that could actually be used to bring together sort of a coalition of NGOs that are in particular areas. So think about all of the wonderful kind of benefits and all the wonderful kind of opportunities that exist in places like Flint that have amazing public support, places like Detroit, right? These become places that all those things can be sort of focused and put together into sort of one basket. The other thing I think that's important is they could use the Kalamazoo Promise as a jumping off point to the use of a lot of new educational techniques and technologies that are being used in other places around this country and beyond.
Is some of it because of the whole anonymity thing? We don't really know who that is. Who's putting that money in, and that's an important part of it. But if you're on the outside looking in and wondering if you should do it, you don't really know what it's going to take.
Well, I mean, part of it is we don't know who financed the Kalamazoo Promise, mm-hmm. but we know how it's structured, and we know what the benefits are, and we've studied kind of who gets to go, and we've been following them longitudinally. So the only thing we really don't know is who poured the money in. But of course, if you're just a basic, you know, actuary, you could figure out how much money needs to be poured in to various areas in order to make that possible. You can figure out relatively quickly how to negotiate favorable rates at the universities and colleges throughout our state. So there's a lot of unknowns that are relatively easy to triangulate. So I think that's a relatively hollow excuse.
Couldn't this potentially expose our education system to even more political intrusion and commercialization? I mean, we got a lot of people who don't think the education system should exist solely to help business and corporation find better qualified workers.
Well, you know, there's always been sort of three reasons people talk about education systems. The one is, of course, to make good citizens. That's the first mm-hmm. piece. And that's kind of the old public idea. The second idea is learning for learning's own sake. you know, the whole joy of learning, which I think is also wonderful. And the third one is that we produce productive people that add to the to not only to the commercial, but to the civic ability of a city. And I want to add that that's what happened to Kalamazoo. When I grew up in Kalamazoo, they made the best guitars and, you know, the best car, you know, chassis and transmissions and fishing rods. It was amazing. And what happened was, you know, there were cheaper climates and there were cheaper places and kind of a lot of these businesses left. And when the businesses left, all the sort of civic support or a lot of the civic support disappeared. So you have to have a commercial, a meaningful commercial foundation in order to support your schools, the arts, the things that make life worth living.
Now, you maintain that the Kalamazoo Promise is just the start of what you think we could be doing in Michigan education. You think we could do a whole lot more with technology, don't you?
I do. One of the big things that study after study says is that a lot of kids get lost in the system, and they get lost really in two places. The first is when they're younger people, they really don't know what the pathway is from, you know, being a high school or junior high school kid into college. I know I went through this when I was coming up. Neither of my parents had a degree. You know, what did it mean to be in high school? What test did they need to take? So the whole idea of kind of having an e-advisor, having groups of people that can get advice in the same way that maybe you get on the Khan Academy to get advice. It wouldn't be that hard to service a lot of students by using technology that way. Maybe putting them in groups or cohorts so that when one person learned, a lot of people can learn. That's the wonderful thing about technology. You create once and distribute everywhere. Code, right? Create once, distribute everywhere. So you can touch a lot more people. The second thing is that when kids get to college, they often get lost, and that's why college is taking longer and longer and longer to graduate, right? Now, we're well over 5.5, going towards 6 years to graduate in what should be a four-year degree. Well, the same kind of thing. Who's the concierge that's kind of helping that student figure out, you know, what is the next step? And one of the things that you can do also with technology is you can start treating coursework like badges or certificates. And it's one of the big trends in other parts of the world. So that it's not about you went to community college and these things transfer or not transfer. It's like getting Girl Scout badges. These are things that are
tested out. It's on your merit sash.
It says you know how to do this, and this should be applied to the next place you're going. It makes it more efficient and more effective.
So we're kicking around some really interesting ideas. Where do we start, do you think?
Well, I'd love to see a test program. I'd love to see two or three test programs that are kind of mini versions of the Kalamazoo Promise, but maybe alternatives to them. So maybe they're financed alternatively, maybe once through a foundation and maybe once through a corporation. And I'd like to see us apply some different types of technologies and maybe existing systems that exist, like whether it's the Khan Academy or TED is getting into this kind of thing. And there's a million of these things sort of coming online. But I'd like to see two or three of them. I'd like to see it run with very little money and not a lot of time. Let's say we run them for a year or a year and a half at a time, and then let's study them. Let's say, what did we learn? Let's take the best practices off of each of them. Let's reconstruct them and go into version two, just like when you make software, version one, version two, and let's see what version two is doing. Because if you give somebody a year, that's really not going to destroy any education system or ruin anybody's educational opportunity, but it's also going to create an opportunity to integrate some of these innovations into our school system.
It might open a window. And back to the overarching theme of the next idea, how does all of this flow into that idea of innovation?
Well, it seems to me that there are three things you have to make innovation happen in any community. Number one, you have to have a favorable economic climate. And I've said this on the program before. It means the availability of capital. What it doesn't mean is taxation. If you look at taxation, the three highest tax states in the United States have the most venture capital per person: Massachusetts, California, and New York. So the argument that low tax drives innovation is absolutely not true, right? In fact, I'm not trying to make this argument, but in fact, if you're going to make the argument, it's the exact opposite, because high wages require capability, and to get capability, you have to have good school systems, et cetera. You have to make places that people want to live. Now, the second thing that you need is, which I think is really essential, is you need capability. You need competency, is what we sometimes refer to. You need to be able to do things, and that requires education. That's the first step. And it's like anything, and it's never going to be different, and it never has been different. These industries show up with the places who have the skills to do them. That comes back to, why is biotech coming back to Kalamazoo? Well, it used to be that the Upjohn Company was there. Used to be it was a biotech area, right, when Pfizer came in. So all of a sudden, there are people who are actually trained in these scientific areas and also in these creative areas. areas, and these industries are attracted. But the third and the most important piece is to have a culture for innovation. And a culture for innovation is a culture with a sense of destiny, a sense of that tomorrow is going to be better than today. That's what the word progress means. And the whole community kind of engaged in that. And to me, that's the remarkable thing that Kalamazoo, I believe, has been able to achieve. It was amazing when I grew up. It went through a very difficult period. A very small group of self-authorizing individuals decided that they were going to do something about it. When I go back home to Kalamazoo these days, it feels very different than Kalamazoo did 10 years ago. And I think largely it's due to the Kalamazoo Promise.
And that is progress.
It is.
Jeff DeGraff is a professor of innovation at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan and our partner in The Next Idea. You'll find his essay at the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. Share your thoughts in the comments section or, of course, on Michigan Radio's Facebook page or at Next Idea MI on Twitter. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you, Cynthia.